So then, naturalness is the approach of the early Zen masters to the study of Zen, and no one is more important in this respect than Huineng, the sixth patriarch, who died in 713 AD. I don't know how many of you know the story of his life. It is of some importance. It is told that he was a very poor peasant boy, very young. And one day when he was delivering kindling, his business was to sell firewood, he heard somebody reciting the Diamond Sutra. And he came to the passage where it says, "Awaken the mind without letting it stick anywhere." And instantly he saw the point. And he was, right at that moment, Bodhisattva. Now, that means, in other words, this passage, use your mind in such a way that it doesn't stop at any point. See, stopping, that's hesitation. If somebody approaches you with a knife and is about to slay you, and you hesitate, wondering what to do, your mind is stuck at a point. But if you just slide through the situation like water would if somebody grabbed hold of it, you see, you wouldn't stick. Aikido is based on this. Aikido is the inner essence of judo, and it's based on learning how never to be stuck. The principle, for example, it's very difficult to grab hold of a rotating pole. It slithers out of your hand. So in Aikido, you rotate on a smaller circle than your opponent, and he finds you absolutely slithery. He can't control you. In Aikido is aimed at getting out of messes. When somebody attacks you, you're just not there. It is not an aggressive art. It's the opposite of karate. So, this was what the sixth patriarch heard. Now then, he was at that time then wanting to find out if he really understood it properly. And so he sought out the man who was then the fifth successor of Bodhidharma, a man called Hongren. And he was in charge of a very large monastery in the province of Wangmei. And he had about 1,000 students. And he was getting old and shaky. And when he met Huineng, he said, "Well, you're just a country bum. How could you possibly have an understanding of Buddhism?" But he saw instantly that he did, because Huineng replied, "Whether you are a peasant or an urban man, whether you come from the north or the south, has no difference so far as the Buddha nature is concerned." And Hongren looked at him and said, "You go into the kitchen section and pound rice." So Huineng took off and went pounding rice. Then the master made an announcement to the whole congregation of monks that, "I'm getting old, and it's time for me to pass on, and I have to have a successor. So I'm going to have a poetry contest. And the one of you who writes a poem which best shows his understanding of Zen will be my successor." Well, all the monks said, "Well, Shinshyo, who is the senior monk, will obviously get the office. And there is no point any of us writing a poem. But this poor head monk wrestled within his heart, because he realized that he didn't really understand. And what to do to write a poem. So he decided to do this. He would write his poem on the corridor outside the wall of the corridor outside the master's room. And then he'd do it secretly in the middle of the night. And then if the master approved of it, he would come forward and say he'd written it. If the master disapproved of it, he would just say nothing. So he went out in the middle of the night and wrote this poem, which said, "Our body is the Bodhi tree. Our mind is a bright mirror standing. Carefully we wipe it hour by hour, so no dust falls on it." The Bodhi tree, you know, is the tree under which the Buddha was enlightened. And there is all through Indian literature a symbolism of the body as a tree. The spine is the trunk, and there are chakras and centers like flowers on it from which... it's the same symbol as the Yggdrasil, the world tree, which unites heaven and earth. So then the master took a look at that poem, and he said, this is a very fine poem, and it shows clearly that the person who wrote it has great understanding, and you are to put candles on either side of it and burn incense, and everybody in the monastery is to learn it by heart and recite it. So then he took the head monk aside privately and said, listen, this is a lot of bunk. You don't understand. You write, if you want to get the insignia of the patriarchate, you write another poem. But meanwhile, all these monks were running around reciting it, you know, trying to memorize it and repeating it over and over again. And it happened that one of them passed by the kitchen where Hui Nung was pounding rice. And he suddenly heard it and said, what's that you're saying? Oh, he said, haven't you heard, you country bumpkin? This is our senior head monk's poem that has been written, and the master has ordered all of us to recite it. But Hui Nung said, this man doesn't know what it's about. So he said, I would like to write a poem, but I can't write. I don't know how. You must write it for me. So they said, you will write a poem? You, from the south? And so he went, and he dictated this poem. Fundamentally, no, it says, the body is not the Bodhi tree, nor is there any mirror. From the beginning, nothing exists. So what can the dust fall on? And the patriarch came out and saw this. Now, he realized that there was a real political problem going on here, because if he gave the patriarchate to this inferior country bumpkin, there would be an absolute uproar. So he took his shoe off and he rubbed it out and he said, this is of no merit. Then he secretly took Hui Nung and said, listen, you get the patriarchate. But he said, if I give it to you in front of all these monks, they'll kill you. So he gave him the insignia, which consisted of a monk's robe and a begging bowl, and said, get out of here and lie quiet for about 10 years, and then start teaching. So that's what happened. Then, of course, when it was discovered what had happened, a whole lot of people set off in pursuit to get back the robe and the bowl from this awful scamp. Well, that's another story, but I mean, I'm going to suspend it there for the moment. See, what he said, there isn't a Bodhi tree, there is no mirror, so since everything is void, literally it says in Chinese, fundamentally comes not one thing. You know, like we say, gifts moida, fundamentally gives not, it doesn't give a thing. Really, there aren't any things. All things are thinks, as I explained yesterday. They are units of thought. So, where can the dust fall?